It's time for the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales. We'll hear from your host, Aaron Quillen, after this.
See more and do more in a new 300 series compact track loader from New Holland. Its industry-leading 360-degree visibility is truly something to see at Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. With its reverse camera and 8-inch multifunction LCD display, Super Boom lift technology, rock-solid stability, and redesigned controls, you'll work with greater speed, safety, and precision. Maximum productivity starts with a clear view. Stop by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville today and see how a new 300 series compact track loader helps you do more.
Welcome to the WJBM Outdoor Show, presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-County. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. And joining us today we have Mark Wagner, former district sergeant of IDNR, current Jersey County board member. Mark, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me again.
Yes, sir. Well, I think we have some good stuff to talk about today. When we were on here last, we were talking about the National Parks proposal.
Yes.
And that was quite the experience, right?
Yes, came out of nowhere, and we got a lot of local support in Calhoun County right away, got behind it, and it just kind of blew up from there.
Yeah, and you know, the idea of making Calhoun, this low population peninsula between the Mississippi and Illinois rivers, a national park, has been, we'll just call it a rumor, for, you know, decades.
Yes.
And with this proposal, holy cow, it was here.
Yes.
It was real. And
yes.
It was in writing.
And people took it seriously.
Yeah. And you know, in the grand scheme of things, you had a philanthropy group in, I guess, Alton.
Alton Works.
Yeah. That was attempting to take land from a county of 4,400 people to promote their tourism.
They were wanting to take existing public land from IDNR, from U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Corps of Engineers, and they were wanting to put all that public land under the national park. They felt like it could be managed better that way. But I think I showed that that's not the case. I think each individual agency promotes the hunting aspects, fishing aspects, and they can do a better job than the national park. Plus, at the time, the national park, and they still are, but they're way behind on their maintenance. Mm-hmm. You know, $23, $25 billion. I don't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, if this land become national park, how is it going to be managed any better? It's not. And I think a lot of people in Calhoun and Jersey were afraid of, okay, if this becomes a national park, are they going to try to reach out and grab more private land?
Eminent domain.
And so
I think that there are some examples of where that might have already happened in Calhoun on a smaller level.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's how some of it become Corps of Engineers, mm-hmm. Fish and Wildlife. Mm-hmm. All of that was kind of an eminent domain. Now, here in recent years, I know a lot of private landowners have actually sold property to IDNR. So it wasn't an eminent domain type situation. Habitat stamp money was used to purchase some of that land. So that hasn't happened in a while, but it doesn't mean that it couldn't happen again.
Right. Right. And so essentially this parks proposal, national parks proposal, was drafted. It wasn't really, I wouldn't say promoted, until it was go live time. It was almost like a strategic, this group putting it together, really kind of kept it on the down low. I don't think there was a whole lot of communication with even the counties in which the land, you know, where the land was, I don't even think that they really got communicated to, did they?
Some counties were, some weren't. Calhoun was not communicated with. Jersey County was.
Okay.
We were invited to a meeting. There were a lot of local mayors from the metro area. There was a couple from Missouri that was invited, but not even the Missouri counties were there. St. Charles County wasn't there. Probably the largest one. So some were invited, some weren't. I don't know how they picked and choose who went to that initial meeting,
okay.
But not everybody was there.
Okay.
Once I got the information, then I immediately relayed it to Calhoun.
Okay. All right. And so as that was going on, there was kind of a town hall meeting that took place in Calhoun. We're in the Calhoun Gymnasium, and there were a lot of people there, you know. Some were really upset and bothered by this. There seemed to be some members from different organizations. Jane from Farm Bureau was there. You know, Scotty from I-4 was there. You were there. And it was really kind of just a round table as to what is this? What are we going to do? How are we going to organize? Because essentially, I don't think anyone from Calhoun County that was there spoke up in favor of this.
No, there was not one person who spoke in favor of it. Matter of fact, some of the people that were there were part of the eminent domain grab that had happened in previous years.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, this could happen. It's happened to us. We've lost part of our family farm, you know, to this. So here they come again. They were worried. And they, like I said, they should be.
Right. Okay. And so, a lot of, I guess, some of the takeaways from those initial meetings in Calhoun, and I'm sure there was a meeting in Jerseyville, I think. Did Jerseyville have
Grafton?
Like
we had one in Grafton, yeah.
Yeah. So the takeaways were, what associations does this affect? Which, a lot. I personally reached out and called, you know, all the headquarters, NWTF, you know, DU, Whitetails. I tried to reach out to every organization myself. And I know that, like, there was a tourism organization. There's a gentleman that was pretty instrumental there.
Corey Job.
Okay. And so it was kind of like the thing I got from that, it was kind of like, hey, we've already got this handled, you know, this national parks proposal really infringes on what we do here for the local community, and, you know, kind of puts it in a different direction that would be very detrimental to a lot of these communities, these small communities along the way.
It's just not the hunters. I mean, it's the boating community. What would that do to the river? It's the eagle watchers. You make this a national park. Now there's a national park fee. Bike riders. Horse trail riders, everybody. It affects everybody. And that's what people, I guess, don't realize. It affects everyone, just not one certain group.
Right. Public land is not just for hunting and fishing.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, that might even have an impact, like you're saying, on the boat ramps, use of the boat ramps.
Yes.
You know, across the board. Could you imagine having to get a day or an annual permit to just go use the boat landing at Reds or?
Well, a lot of people camp out on the islands. Those are Corps of Engineer islands. Now they become a national park. Now they close at 8 p.m., you know, or 9 p.m. They close at sunset. You can't camp out there all night anymore.
So the boaters that go hit the sandbars.
Yeah, it would affect them.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
From a lot of different places. And so the end result, what I seem to have really learned is Scotty at I-4 is a powerhouse.
I-4 represents all those different groups. They put them under one roof. The Turkey Federation, they're by themselves. Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, Migratory Waterfowl, trail riding groups. They're all different, but they're all under the roof of I-4. They're affiliates of I-4. Mm-hmm. They represent everybody, just not one group.
And then I-4 in turn lobbies at the state level in Springfield.
Yes, we have a paid lobbyist.
Mm-hmm. To basically bring together those of us here in downstate Illinois that already
to keep
feel-
us in touch with what the laws are, the bills that are being introduced and how they could affect us.
Yeah. And for those of us in downstate Illinois that feel disenfranchised or, you know, excluded from a lot of the decision-making that happens on the state level, I-4 is a really big voice for us.
Yes. And like I said, that lobbyist, then when he finds out about a certain bill that's being introduced, you know, we get it out to all those different organizations. So then they know about it as well.
Okay. And then, I'd say the Farm Bureau was another instrumental.
Farm Bureau was huge. Jane Branchburg in Calhoun County, she did a wonderful job, of getting the Farm Bureau behind it, just not in Illinois, but Missouri. She was very instrumental in a lot of this.
Yeah. Jane did awesome. So as we look at, you know, kind of this experience, having gone through this rumor that started to become a reality when it got put to writing and proposed, you know, we now kind of understand what the opposition really looks like. We now kind of understand like what it is that's trying to be accomplished. And, you know, we still can't think of a good reason why we would turn these lands over.
No, there's not one good reason.
Yeah. So, between I-4 kind of bringing all these associations together, the Farm Bureau, which is such an important lobby, in the state of Illinois, you know, that's really where our defense came from.
Yes.
And, when we look at, you know, what's next, because it doesn't seem like this attempt to, you know, all right, let me back up. So we have Trump getting elected. Therefore, that kind of put an end to the idea of the national parks proposal.
Yes.
And
for the time being.
For the time being. And the reason is something that happened in the one of the Obama terms was there was an opportunity to use executive order to create federal land or national park.
Yes. And Joe Biden did it right at the end of his term, and he could have very easily done that here. Luckily, he did not, but there were a couple areas, I believe, in California, if I remember right. I remember there was two areas, but it was out west, California, Arizona. I'm pretty sure both of them were in California, though, that he did that. He made them a national park.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break here. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines from Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville put more premium grain in the bin and save you money while doing it. Compared to competitive brand combines, CR Twin Rotor Combines lose significantly less grain. Independent third-party test results prove it. And CR Twin Rotor Combines use less fuel and harvest faster to save you real money. Finish your season sooner with more grain safely in the storage bin. See Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville about New Holland CR Twin Rotor Combines. They give you performance that pays.
We're streaming the best country on the new WJBM radio app. And for Android users, we've got an opportunity for you to test the new Android app and get registered to win. Just email mlorton55@gmail.com. We'll send you a link to download the app and you can give it a try. Plus, you'll be entered to win passes to Aries Resort in Grafton. Email mlorton55@gmail.com today and request the new WJBM app.
Okay. All right. So one of the things when we talk about these associations, I've always worked real closely with Safari Club International. Mm-hmm. And SCI is a national organization. Tagline is First for Hunters. They're essentially what NRA is to the Second Amendment to hunting. And they have, you know, federal lobbying power They're also instrumental in, you know, all of the wildlife management that goes on in other continents and countries, you know, to overall preservation, conservation of wildlife. I had reached out to Safari Club as well. And just by speaking to some of the guys at Safari Club, it made the message made it to DC. And so that was another organization that was looking out for the best interests of these small rural communities here in Illinois. That being said, it appears that this proposal has now kind of moved into a state type of proposal.
Yes. Recently, the state passed a bill called the Rewilding Bill, and it is basically a national park bill, but it's still part of the state. What it does is it is a restoration of land to its natural state. So they're not going to have any more crops on state lands, which is huge for like Copperhead Hollow. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a massive area that usually has crops in it. No more crops. When you do that, a lot of those crops, the farmers pay, taxes on that, that come to the county. So now the county's going to lose out on those taxes. But again, Copperhead Hollow is not going to be like it used to be because there's not going to be any food for them down there. It's just going to go back to its natural state. One of the other things that it does is it reintroduces apex predators to Illinois. So they're going to introduce mountain lions and bears back to Illinois. And if you look at what happened out west, what other states have done, it's not working very well for them.
Are wolves a part of that apex package?
I don't know if it would. It's an apex animal, yes. Yeah. Now, whether they're going to reintroduce wolves to Illinois, I don't know. But mountain lions and bears, definitely. Yeah, probably wolves.
I don't know who in their right mind has looked at these reintroductions and felt like they were controlling them well.
I don't know either.
Okay, so a little bit more on this rewilding bill. So when we look at Pierre Marquette, Illinois' largest state park, there's a ton of agriculture that butts up to it. Is some of that leased from Pierre Marquette?
Some of the private property?
I don't know. Or is there, you're talking about no more cropping?
Oh, on, yeah. Well, Copperhead Hollow, that's Pierre Marquette.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And then, you know, down by Graham Hollow, on Metal Branch Road, there's quite a bit of ag lease ground down there that are putting crops every year. There's a ton of deer stands around them. You know, people go down there to hunt. But again, according to this bill, they're just going to let it grow up. Nothing's going to be done with it.
It's so no burning?
No burning.
No burning.
No.
So we're going to return it to, we're going to rewild it without fire?
Yeah. I mean, and you see how, again, out west, how's that working out for them? They have a ton of wildfires. You know, right now, our forestry does a really good job of going down there and doing controlled burns in certain areas. They move them around, and that works really well for us. But under this rewilding, are they going to still do control burns? Probably not. They're just going to let it go back to its, again, its natural state.
Well, I think that's another example of how when you have it broken up within the discipline of what each individual organization does versus under the National Parks umbrella, you lose the specialization of each individual entity, whether it be the Corps or, you know, another organization. Okay, so where is this bill currently at?
The governor just signed it sometime in the last week, I believe.
So it's happening.
It's happening, yes. It's done.
So these farmers have lost their fields?
They'll have them probably for this year yet. Yeah. They've probably already planted crops. I don't know when the effective date, when it took effect. It may be January 1st of next year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the effective date is, but it's been signed.
Can you imagine being a farmer and then all of a sudden, whoop, governor signed a bill?
Well, I mean, you can talk about some of these other areas too, like Jim Eggers State Park. How many people from here go up there to pheasant hunt?
Yeah.
It's going to be all natural now. No fields up there for pheasants or rabbits or quail or anything else. It's just going to go back to its natural state. I mean, that's just a couple local, you know, the duck hunters. You know, there's not going to be any row crops that are going to be in any of the refuges. So.
All right. So we've got I-4. We can reach out to I-4. They can direct us to, you know, essentially who we can call and mention our, you know, displeasure of these losses.
The unfortunate part is the bill's already been signed and passed. Now getting it reversed is going to be very hard. Not that it can't be done, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard fight.
Okay. And then with regard to the Farm Bureau, you know, I know you're not a member of the Farm Bureau, but this
used to be. I used to have a farm over in Calhoun, but
okay. What does this mean as far as that organization is concerned? You know, I can't imagine that they were for it.
I don't know what they're. I don't know if they were for it or against it. I didn't think the bill was going to go through. I thought it was pretty much killed, and then all of a sudden, at the last minute, it ran through. Kind of like the state budget. I don't think they followed the rules on how they passed the state budget, and now they're fighting that. You know, I don't know where that's at either right now. But I think some of the politicians in Springfield just feel like they can do whatever they want. They don't have to answer to the public. And we need to change that.
Which is why we feel disenfranchised down here in Lower Illinois. Okay. Well, that being said, I think Farm Bureau is probably a really important place for anyone listening to.
The Farm Bureau is very important in it. I mean, if I was one of the farmers next to any of the state areas, where you think those animals are going to go? If the state's not planting any crops anymore for the wildlife, where is those wildlife going to go? They're going to migrate. Where are they going to migrate? Private property.
Right. And for hunters, outdoorsmen, fishermen, trail riders, anyone that, you know, is impacted by loss of use of these public lands through this rewilding bill, you know, the Farm Bureau is a tremendous lobby. It's potentially Illinois' largest lobby representing the like minds of those of us in downstate Illinois.
Well, and again, how is this bill going to affect the livestock farmers? You have the bears and the wolves and the mountain lions out there now. That's not going to have effect on their cattle and hogs. It's going to have a big impact on them.
Right. And then, you know, people may say, well, there's always been mountain lions that have traveled through. But I think one important factor to consider is that would be a male lion that would be passing through.
Yes.
They're usually on a walkabout, you know, and it's more about breeding.
They're being pushed out of their area and they're looking to go out and stretch their legs and look at other areas.
Right. And for them to sustain an area, they need to find a mate.
Yes.
And
that's why they don't typically stay here.
Right. So if we're looking at potential introduction of mountain lions for breeding populations, we are potentially looking at more human interaction.
Yes.
Right. Which I always say, look in the past, you know, there's a reason why those things, mountain lions, wolves, apex predators, are no longer here.
And like I said, you can look at the states out west that have tried this same thing already and how it's working for them, and it's not. It's not working for them.
They even, the Yellowstone with the wolf reintroduction, where they were saying that, oh, it helped with erosion because it was less critters eating the banks, you know, the forbs and grasses on the banks. And well, 10 years later, oh, that was mostly not true. And this has been a disaster.
Well, and like if you look at California and what they're publishing, what their DNR is putting out, they're putting out about cutting vegetation back, you know, clearing land to open it up to make it more visible. Well, what's that do? You cut vegetation back and you're harming other species, mudslides. You know, there you open up a whole new can of worms by doing that. And it's not working. That's the big thing. So if it's not working in these Western states, why do we want to introduce a bill that's not working?
No, especially one that takes farmers' fields away from them.
Yes.
Takes, you know, usage, you know, usage rights, because it's public land. So we have the right for usage.
Yeah.
And
those lands are supposed to be managed for wildlife. And by doing this, by restoring it back to its natural state, you're not managing those lands for habitat anymore. By like a Jim Egger, by taking those crop fields away, how are you promoting the pheasant population up there? You're not. How are you, just not pheasants, upland game. How are you promoting rabbits and quail? They have nothing to eat. So they're going to move on. And I mean, as a hunter, that's where our money goes to. I mean, our hunting license, our stamps is supposed to go to, you know, for that purpose. So we're kind of getting away from it, it seems like.
Yeah, it does. It certainly
does. We're going back to the national park because this is the national park mission, is to restore land to its natural state.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I said in all the meetings, I mean, national parks do have a purpose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not bashing the national parks. You know, preservation of the Indian mounds and things like that, that's what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. But when these lands are being managed properly for wildlife, again, how are you helping it? You're not.
The way I view a national park is we're going to travel, we're going to go somewhere where there are no houses, and we're going to look at nature untouched that is in the middle of nowhere, no residential, you know, that might be some agriculture on the foothills, but I usually think of mountains and major land features.
Yes.
That are typically associated to a national park. Now, I get it. The rivers are pretty incredible, you know, land feature. But
I think the Corps of Engineers and Fish and Wildlife, I think they do a wonderful job.
Let's take a break here. We're going to hear working
together
we'll be right
to manage
back.
The river system and the ecosystem. There are certain times of the year that Fish and Wildlife says, hey, you need to lower the water. Certain times, hey, you need to raise the water, you know, so certain species, can mate.
Right.
And, you know, have food. So.
But it all comes down to use.
Yes.
And with a national park, although anyone promoting a national park is going to tell you that hunting opportunities will continue, but if you look at history, there is, I'm willing to say, less than 10% of national parks can be hunted. And most of it's in Alaska. Hardly any of it's in the lower 48.
And some of it that you can hunt, you know, we've brought this up before too, you know, you can no more duck blinds.
Right.
If you're going to deer hunt, you got to carry your stand in and out. Well, the older I get, the less I want to carry a stand in and out every day and night. So, you know, I'm probably not going to hunt anymore. Is that their goal? They don't want people to hunt? I don't know.
I'm not sure either.
It's not safe to go out. You know, I used to hunt from a boat blind. I've walked into areas and stood in water in my chest waders in my younger days. But is that something I want to do when I get older in my grandkids? I have a grandkid that I'm trying to introduce to duck hunting. Mm-hmm. Is that something I want to do? Well, probably not. But, you know, you need a blind that you can safely hunt out of.
Right.
So
Let's take a break here. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
See more and do more in a new 300 series compact track loader from New Holland. Its industry-leading 360-degree visibility is truly something to see at Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. With its reverse camera and 8-inch multifunction LCD display, Super Boom lift technology, rock-solid stability, and redesigned controls, you'll work with greater speed, safety, and precision. Maximum productivity starts with a clear view. Stop by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville today and see how a new 300 series compact track loader helps you do more.
Got a relative, friend, neighbor, or coworker with an upcoming birthday? Call the WJBM listener line at 618-639-4567 and leave a birthday wish, and we will put it on the radio, and that person will be entered into weekly and the end of the year $1,000 drawings. And you, the caller, will get entered too. Weekly prizes drawn on Tuesdays at 7:30 a.m. The end of the year grand prize winner will be drawn on December 30th.
Welcome back to the WJBM Outdoor Show presented by Midwest Tractor Sales in Jerseyville. Today we're coming to you from the WJBM studios in Jerseyville, the voice of the Tri-County. I'm Aaron Quillen. I operate Monarch Rivers, where the mission is simple: kill big deer. Returning, we have Mark Wagner, who's been instrumental in the opposition to the National Parks proposal and is been bringing us up to speed as to how this proposal has now taken a turn, and it's more from a state level. It's a bill called the Rewilding Bill that has been passed by Governor Pritzker here within the past week. And it's really interesting to me, Mark, this legislation that comes out of Springfield or comes out of Chicago, the heavy emphasis on Chicago, it really doesn't take into account the culture of downstate Illinois.
No, not at all. Yeah. And I don't really think they're consulting anybody. I think they just come up with these ideas and that sounds good and let's run with it without any consultation from anyone.
I hate to make it about, us versus them, but there's two types of people in the world: people that hunt and fish, and there's people that don't. And a big portion of those that don't are absolutely against it. As we know, our local culture is predominantly for it. And you wonder how something like this legislation could come about. You wonder how, who's behind this? Is this something that gives you any thoughts? Is this like a anti-hunting strategy, or is this?
I think it goes beyond the hunting aspect. It goes to the Second Amendment rights. Look at how Illinois has ballooned their taxes. Mm-hmm. The election's coming up in 2026. And to me, those are some of my major issues, is taxes, my Second Amendment rights and how they're being trampled on. Mm-hmm. And then again, my hunting and fishing rights. And, I know there are people in Chicago that hunt and fish. Mm-hmm. Lake Michigan, there's a ton of people that fish up there. Of course, fishing's not really under attack, but, I was in Lake County on the Wisconsin border for 4 years as a mm-hmm. conservation officer, and there was a ton of hunting up there. Some of the best hunting, some of the best bucks, waterfowl hunting. I mean, it was really great up there. I haven't been back in several years, but, I've duck hunted on Lake Michigan before.
Yeah.
That was quite the experience. It's a lot different than the hunting here. But, like I said, we have a new election coming up here in 2026, and we got to get out there and make our voices heard. I felt like Illinois made a little bit of a turn this past election. I think some of the elections were a lot closer than they ever have been. I think certain areas are turning and becoming a little bit more conservative. And I think we need to continue to work on that.
Yeah. You know, to kind of recap, it seems like this bill just slid through under the radar. I don't think it was really, a lot of the public had even given it much consideration.
Well, there's a lot of bills like that, just not this one. Mm-hmm. I know they used to have limits in the legislature and how many bills someone could introduce. And from what I understand now, there's no limits. So okay. They can introduce hundreds of bills where in the past they never could do that. You mm-hmm. had to pick what you thought was important and introduce that. Mm-hmm. And I believe there's a lot of laws being passed that nobody knows about until it becomes a law.
Right. As we're entering into this strange time to be alive, a lot of crazy things going on in politics, potential legislation being made that we're not aware of. Is there a responsibility of the media to be bringing that forward? How do we stay more informed? I'm sorry to lean on you for this. I'm just assuming since you were, you know, a ranking member of the Illinois DNR, you're a little bit more plugged in than most of us.
I don't know if even getting it out to the media is really going to help. You know, usually when these bills go through a certain committee, there's a period of time, and again, not a lot of people know about this, but there's something called a witness slip that you can fill out, and you're either opposed to this bill or, you know, you're for the bill. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen on some of the bills that I've been involved in that I knew about, you know, it was overwhelming. I don't know, like 2,500 are against this bill and 500 are for the bill. And they go ahead and pass the bill out of committee. Why would you do that when there's so many people against it? They don't look at the witness slips. They just do what they want.
Is it an issue of diversity? Like, we have such diversity here in Illinois. We've got a major metro to the north. You know, Springfield is a decent population center, nothing extremely large. We've got Metro East, everything.
Peoria, Rock Island, Rockford, Carbondale.
Okay.
You got a lot of metro areas there.
Okay. And it seems, though, that Cook County, Chicago surrounding area.
Yes.
Is primarily driving all of this.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
I think, is Chicago the third largest city in the country?
That I don't know. It's pretty big.
Yeah. It's up there. It's up there. So that being the case, you know, is there just so much, so almost too much diversity? I'm not talking about like race, religion, diversity. I'm talking about, you know, culture, way of life, diversity. When you have a extremely large city that dominates a pretty large state geographically. I mean, there's a lot of land in Illinois.
I think there's been a change really up there. Now that I think about it, I mean, back in the mid 90s when I first started working down here in this area, it was not uncommon to run into a senator or representative during farm deer season hunting Pike County, Calhoun, you know, any of these counties around here. Mm-hmm. I don't think that really happens anymore. I don't think you see any of the legislatures from the Chicago area coming down here to deer hunt or turkey hunt or anything like that, which in the, like I said, the mid to late 90s, you saw there was a lot of them. You don't see that anymore.
I mean,
why has that changed?
I don't know. Maybe they're going to Wisconsin. Huh. All right. Now, there's another thing that might be coming down the pipe. I don't know if it's a part of the rewilding bill or not, but there's something going on with the crop damage at the state level.
The governor has a bill on his desk right now. that would pay farmers for crop damage done by deer.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we going to get this money to pay for the damage?
Right.
That's my first question. And then my next question is this just the beginning? I mean, are we going to start paying for car versus deer accidents then? You know, where does it stop? And where are we going to get the money again? You know, we just ballooned our budget in here in Illinois. Is that part of that budget? I don't know. Nobody seems to have the answers to it.
How can things be so mismanaged and we're just going to keep doing more of that?
I don't know. I don't know where it stops. And again, that's the thing, you know, between now and the next election, there's probably going to be more bills like this that just don't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Where does it stop? And I don't see it stopping. That's the problem.
I need to get somebody from
the It's just not like, we passed a bill. Oh, that was a bad idea. I mean, there's several bills that they are passing that are bad ideas. It's just not one. It's several. Where does it stop? And the only way to stop it is at the election.
Yeah.
The ballot box. If you're not happy, then change it.
Right. And so locally, some of our legislators, C.D. Davids-Meyer, Jill Tracy, Amy Ellick.
They've all been great to work with. They're all on our side. They're the voice of reason, but they're the minority.
Right. And so what we need to do is we need to find, I guess, the other spots where we can gain some momentum.
Somehow we got to get to the Chicago area, and we need to not insult them, but educate them. We mm-hmm. need to educate them.
Yeah.
Is what we need to do. You know, invite them to, you know, come down to our area and see what it's like. You know, go out on a deer hunting trip. You don't have to hunt yourself, but you can watch.
Right. There's nothing like a duck blind breakfast.
No, you're absolutely right there.
Change your life. Okay. All right. And again, I, myself personally, I re-upped my Farm Bureau membership. I'm going to actually go speak with the Farm Bureau here later this month and try and learn a little bit more about how we as hunters can align with the farming community. They've got a very impressive voice, and I think some of the concerns that I have from a hunting perspective is, you know, a reduced number of tags, but then we're going to, you know, to the point where now the Farm Bureau and farmers are seeking more nuisance permits.
Right.
Well, if hunters had more tags, we could shoot more deer.
Yeah. And then we have counties like Greene County where you can't even get a doe tag for farm season or for muzzleloader season. You get one either sex tag and that's it.
Muzzleloader permits.
So there's no crop damage in Greene County? I don't think that's the case.
No, I don't either. And, you know, I'll give you an example. I sent a text message to somebody who would know. I'm going to leave them nameless. But we had guys last year at the second draw, so the first non-resident draw. I had a guy that couldn't get a Calhoun muzzleloader permit. It was the first. Never in history has somebody not been able to get in that first non-resident draw. So our second draw, because the first one's residents only.
Right.
Did not get a Calhoun. We had to go into the third and final draw and get a Pike permit for the Pike farms. And so this is what's interesting.
Which it's amazing there was a tag left for there also.
Well, here's the thing. permits are not allocated based off of the wildlife population. It's based off the people population. So in a lower population like you have in Calhoun, and I'm not sure about the Greene County statistics, but I think that, you know, there's not a really outstanding population center in Greene County. So this might be what's affecting that. So the permits are issued off of human population, almost like, yeah, we'll just have enough tags where people get their tags and then we don't have to worry about it. So, well, along the rivers in bluff country is where you have the highest density. So that's where you're going to have the most crop damage. And so we're now looking at summer nuisance permits rather than do something with creating more firearm permits for whitetail.
And then they've also, in the area down here, they've done away with most of the late winter deer season, which I never did like.
Yeah, I'm done with that.
There's a lot of bucks that have dropped their racks by then, and they were accidentally getting shot. I saw that firsthand. And, you know, we had talked about it. Some of the conservation officers, we had talked about, why don't we give the farmers more tags, free tags, to hunt them during the season? You know, that would make more sense than giving them the nuisance permits and trying to shoot them in August when it's 100 degrees outside, and when you shoot one, you better get it in the cooler pretty quick or it's going to spoil.
Right.
It just made more sense to give them those tags during the regular season to use. And that made more sense than the late winter deer season. But, you know, again, where does this stop with paying the farmers? Are we going to then pay the vehicle accidents? Where are we coming up with all this money? You know, nobody knows. So,
What we need is a larger voice. We need a larger means of communicating. You know, I-4, they do a fantastic job. They act as a, you know, the net that reaches out to all the associations. They use that to go, they lobby, they give us a voice. For those of you listening, if you're not familiar with I-4, you can follow him on Facebook. You can reach out. Scotty Bryant's the president. He's outstanding. That's a bus. And I'm going to use your word here. We need a convoy. So reach out to your farm bureau. Reach out to your state reps. Because what's happening, the trend is we're losing use opportunities. We had a national parks proposal that didn't go through. You know, it seemed like that executive order would have been reversed by Trump within the first 40 days. I think that's the time limit that, you know, you have to reverse like a exiting president's executive order. But now it's reared its ugly face in a state level.
The state has created basically a national park by doing that.
Yeah.
They've taken the national park purpose. The national park has a purpose.
Right.
And they've taken that purpose and now made it more or less the DNR's.
Right.
Purpose. And that wasn't their purpose. So.
You know, we're falling behind in Illinois. You know, the ducks, they have the GPS on them. They're following that flight. They're going over Missouri, right? We still fly away, still great flight days. We still have local waterfowl. But if you look at the majority of the migration, these animals know that there's corn for them in Missouri.
They're changing their migration patterns.
Yeah. And where are we on that management? And who's listening? So our voice isn't even loud enough.
No.
We're not being heard. So, again, Farm Bureau, I-4, Safari Club International. That's more of a federal level with state chapters. So these state chapters, there's one in Springfield, there's Gateway Chapter in St. Louis. Those of us here locally, check out those organizations. But we need, as outdoors people, if you're a trail rider, if you like hunting pheasant, if you like fishing, if you like killing deer, turkeys, ducks, geese, whatever it is, we got to get out there and we have to make a voice.
Illinois Rifle Association, the NRA, those are great groups too. I mean, you can't hunt it if you don't have a gun, and our Second Amendment rights are definitely under attack too. I mean, commonly used firearms are Illinois saying they're assault weapons now, and that's not right. And, you know, hopefully the federal government will step in and do something, but it hasn't been done yet.
And if you're a member of an existing organization, or if you go to Whitetail's banquet or a DU banquet, reach out to the people that organize those banquets. Qualify what they're doing. See if they are, you know, have a history or are motivated to make a difference as these things are coming down the pipe. If not, join another association. Sure, the banquets are fun. Do that all day long. Great time. Have some drinks, dinner, buy raffle tickets. You know, it all goes to a good cause. But find an association that this stuff matters, and they're bound and determined to make a difference, to create a voice.
Yeah, there's a lot of great organizations out there. You know, Migratory Waterfowl, Delta Waterfowl, Quails Unlimited, just to mention a few others. I think you mentioned Whitetails already. The Turkey Federation, we have a great Turkey Federation chapter here.
NWTF nationally was great. When I called them, it was a crazy rainstorm going on in their area, like flooding. I think it was in all the flooding that hit North Carolina that actually impacted NWTF headquarters.
Yes, I remember that.
I left a voicemail like, hey, I know you guys are getting, you know, dealing with some bigger stuff right now. We currently have this going on in Illinois. It's a national parks proposal. If, you know, someone could reach out, that'd be great. Within like 2 days, the local NWTF leader called me and said, hey, it's on our radar. But they went, they're having a flood. So big support for NWTF on that. They were involved with the national parks. But you know, Mark, we've got some work ahead of us. We got to make this.
Well, I know we're probably missing some organizations too, and we don't mean to leave you out. There's so many organizations out there.
Yeah.
But you need to get involved and join one of these organizations.
If you're an organization, reach out to here to WJBM. We'd be happy to have you on the show. You know, we need to garner a voice. We need to get some things, some momentum. Maybe prevent some of these things from happening, like the rewilding bill, which is going to bring apex predators to downstate Illinois. So, Mark, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It's always good to see you, man.
Nice seeing you.
Yeah. Hunting and fishing, loving every day. I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes, let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, that's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God he made me this.